Today, we will read Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 31. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, open our hearts to receive your word, to be ready to hear. Help us to understand, Lord. Help us to see your word to us and how we are to change our lives to live according to your word. Lord, guide us, direct us today. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 10, verses 1 through 31. Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and, as was his custom, he taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." "It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a little boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad, because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Jesus spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age: homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." All right, today Jesus began by talking about divorce. Now, the Bible teaches that marriage is something very special, very sacred to God. And so Jesus talks about it. And when the Pharisees come to him, they are trying to test him, to trick him, to see what will he say. And so they say, "Is it okay for a man to divorce his wife?" And Jesus says that God did not intend for people to get divorced. His plan was for a man and a woman to come together and stay together. He created marriage not for convenience, not for something that I can try, and if it doesn't work out, I'll get divorced. God's purpose for marriage is a commitment. God's purpose for marriage is a lasting union between a man and a woman. That's what it says right here. As Jesus says at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. That God created and designed men and women to come together, become husband and wife, and stay together, and create a family. And that staying together creates stability. It creates something that is strong and can last. But many times in today's society, people have a strange or a wrong view of marriage. They view marriage as something that I can try, and oh, if it doesn't, if I don't like it, if it doesn't work, I can quit. They view marriage as something that is about feelings and emotions, and they say, "Oh, we are getting married, we are so in love," which is great. But if marriage is based only on feelings, then when there are problems, you'll give up. "Oh, I don't feel that anymore. I don't feel the love anymore. We're going to get divorced." Well, to me, love is more than just a feeling. It is a commitment. In many ways, marriage is supposed to be a picture of Jesus and his love for the church. And maybe when I say that, it should be the other way around. Jesus and his love for the church and for us is supposed to be a picture of what marriage looks like. That as a husband, I am to love my wife unconditionally. And the love is based not on emotion, but on a strong commitment and a promise that no matter what, I will be by her side. I will love her. I will honor her. I will protect her. And so for me, divorce isn't an option. Now, there is another place where Jesus talks about divorce. And he says the same thing, that if a man divorces his wife for any reason other than adultery, then he is committing adultery. And there are other places that talk about where Jesus does explain that if one of them has been unfaithful, then it seems to be more acceptable to divorce. But I would say, on a general principle, divorce is not a good idea. It tears us down. It tears us apart. And so my advice to people before they're married is be careful. Make sure that you are choosing the one that you will be with for the rest of your life. Don't just say, oh, we'll get married and hopefully it'll work out and it'll last a while. No. No. Be careful. Be sure that you marry the right one so that you never have to be divorced and your family is strong and stable. Next, Jesus, is going around teaching, and people are bringing children to him, asking him to bless them. And the disciples are trying to keep the kids away. They're like, go away, stop bothering Jesus. And Jesus gets angry, and he says, no, let the kids come. Bring the children to me. And he holds them, and he blesses them. And he says that we must be like a little child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. We must have faith like a child. We must come like a child, realizing that we don't have anything to give, to buy it, but instead he allows us to enter because of our faith, because of our trust, because of our love for him. And so next, a man comes. And this man is very wealthy. And he asks, what do I have to do in order to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus begins by questioning the man. And the man at first call says, good teacher. And Jesus points out, no one is good except for God. And so I think part of it is, Jesus is saying, first, you have to understand who I am. I am God. And so then he mentions different commandments. And the man says, oh, I have done all of this. So Jesus gives him a very difficult assignment. He says, go, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. The man goes away because he's very wealthy. And Jesus says it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does this mean, the camel going through the eye of a needle? Well, there are two pictures. One is a big camel and a little tiny needle that you sew with And there is a small little hole where you put thread through in the needle. That's the eye of the needle. Okay, a camel is never going to fit through that hole. And then there are also stories of a very, very small gate in Jerusalem that was so small that in order for a camel to pass through it, you would have to get off the camel and then take off all of the things that the camel might be carrying in order for the camel to get through. Now, whichever thing that Jesus is talking about, the idea is this is very, very difficult. But I think this picture of the camel having to take off everything to get through this gate is one interesting image that I think helps me see kind of what Jesus is saying here, in that Jesus is saying, let go of everything else and hold only to me. Take nothing else through. Just like a child brings nothing and isn't able to offer anything of any value in order to be loved or blessed, you also need to stop trying and stop trusting your wealth to get you what you want. Instead, you have to realize that you have nothing to give, nothing to offer. You must trust in God alone. Another important thing here is Jesus says, go, sell everything, give to the poor, then you will have treasure in heaven, then follow me. And so I think the idea here isn't necessarily that giving up everything that we have will buy us a place in heaven, but that if I am holding so tightly to the things of this earth, if my main focus and goals and desires and energy is put onto earthly things, my heart is not where it should be. In other places, Jesus says that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. In that way, if my wealth, my money, is so important to me, then I'm not going to find heaven and Jesus and spiritual things to be of significant value. Jesus is saying he wants this rich man to give up everything else and follow Jesus alone. And that's what we're called to do. I may not have to go out and actually physically give away everything, but for me, I strive to live my life in order my priorities so that Jesus is most important. And so then, as his disciples say, we gave up everything to follow you. And Jesus says, yes, and I promise you, anyone who has given up all of these will receive rewards. They will be blessed both here and in the future. Now, it may not be the way that we expect. It may be that by giving up everything, we become part of the family, and suddenly we gain spiritual brothers and sisters, that their house is our house. And so God doesn't necessarily promise rich financial rewards, but he does promise eternal life and eternal security and eternal riches when we give up things and follow Jesus. So my challenge today is put Jesus first. If there is anything that you find more important than Jesus, let it go and follow him. Lord, I do pray that you would help us to let go of anything that is more important to us than you, that you would be first and foremost in our lives. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.